Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text today is found in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman Christians, chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not keep doing what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer I who am doing it, but it is sin living in me. Indeed, I know that good does not live in me, that is, in my sinful flesh. The desire to do good is present with me, but I am not able to carry it out. So I fail to do the good I want to do. Instead, the evil I do not want to do, that is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who am doing it, but it is sin living in me. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is present with me. I certainly delight in God's law according to my inner self, but I see a different law at work in my members, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me captive to the law of sin, which is present in my members. What a miserable wretch I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is our text. Dear people of God, last week we heard the Apostle Paul dive into the person of Christ, who Christ is and what he remains forever. That he is the very Son of God who lives in unapproachable light with all honor and power. Today, Paul dives into you, what you are. And Paul knew exactly how you think, because being a human being too, Paul thought the same way. Now, this is only for you. This is only for you Christians. Only you have this kind of struggle in your mind and soul. The godless and the heathen do not struggle. They just do whatever they want. They do whatever feels good. However, as long as you are living in this world, you will have this struggle. And it begins with our understanding of the term sinner-saint. You are at the same time Eustace et Peccator. You are at the same time a rotten sinner who deserves eternal flames and hellfire, and you are totally justified before your Father in heaven through the blood and righteousness of Jesus the Christ. This is the essence of the Lutheran faith. This is the full hammer of the law and the beautiful wings of the gospel. You deserve God's wrath for what you have done, for what you are, and for how you think. But in his mercy, God has declared you to be his own holy child, who is pure in every way. Because his Son, Jesus Christ, lived perfectly for you, died innocently in your place, and on the third day rose from the dead to prove the whole thing. And the Apostle Paul now digs into your mind, into the mind of the Christian living in this fallen world, trying to come to grips with why. Why do I do the things I do, and how can God possibly love and save me? And this is what Paul found. Now, it's not an excuse for sin. It's simply an explanation of why you do the things that you do when you promised last Sunday that you were going to cut it out and that you were going to finally live that life of thanksgiving to Christ that you wanted to live because he has been so good to you and has completely saved your soul. It is no longer I who am doing it, but it is sin living in me. That's what's going on. You have a new man of faith living in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit who has worked on you through word and sacrament. But since you are still in the world, yet not in heaven yet, you still have inside of you the old man of sin that Paul calls the sinful flesh here. And the old man and the new man are entwined in a mortal combat in your soul and in your mind to have control of your life and your actions. Again, this is not an excuse for sin. You cannot say, as many have said, well, this is just how God made me. I have certain needs. It's all good. No, it isn't. Every sin is damnable, especially for you, because you know better. Paul's not giggling here. Paul's not saying, well, boys will be boys. Isn't that cute? No, he's not excusing anything. What he's telling you is how your mind works. And he's telling you that you're not alone. Every Christian thinks this way. Some are better at hiding it than others. But every single one of us wrestles with sin and desire and our mess ups. We each carry a load of guilt to bed at night. You are not alone in your thinking and wrestling. You're not excused for it either. Nor is Paul giving us a license to sin in the future. See, this old man of sin in us is a very crafty and logical fellow. This old man of sin can very easily take Paul's rant here and twist it into this license to sin. He says, well, Paul says that I don't understand what I'm doing, and that it is no longer I who am doing it, but that I actually agree with the law and I delight in God's law, well, then I can go ahead and sin. Because it's not me. And God will certainly understand what I am, that I am a weak human being, and he won't come down on me too hard for what I'm doing, for I'm just being me. Plus, I can go and repent tomorrow anyway and get all of it forgiven in Jesus, right? So I might as well just go ahead and sin. But that's not Paul's conclusion at all. That is the thinking and the logic of the sinful flesh. The conclusion that the Apostle Paul comes to when he looks at the struggle between the old man of sin and the new man in faith inside of us is, what a miserable wretch I am. There's nothing here of the world's comfort and the world's advice to, just don't think about it. Or just go look at a lovely piece of art when you feel bad. Or why don't you try meditation to clear your mind? Boy, I hate meditation. You ever try it? You know what happens when you try to meditate? When you try to clear your mind of all thoughts? The devil comes rushing in. A clear mind is the devil's playground. He comes rushing in with old regrets and new worries, old temptations, and just plain sin. If you've noticed in our new hymnal and services, right after we confess our sins, there's a statement written in red ink that says, silence for meditation and reflection. And this sentence is not after we hear about the forgiveness that Jesus won for us upon the cross. No, no. It comes right after we just confess to the Almighty God that we deserve eternal punishment and damnation for not only what we have done, but also for what we are. Why would I want to meditate upon that? As your pastor, I do not want you meditating upon your sin and guilt. I know that you know your sins. I know that you're sorry for them. That's why you're here. You have come to unburden your shoulders, not to think about the burden more. You've come to leave your sins on Jesus, to cast them upon his cross. I don't want you meditating upon your sins and failures. This is a remnant of our Catholic past, and I can't stand it. I don't know why they put it in there. And if you noticed, at church here, Vicar and I don't let you do it. We don't sit in silence and meditate upon our sins. We go immediately from confession to absolution. You are forgiven. Not after you pay a little more in guilt. Not after you suffer more for your sins. No, you are forgiven in Jesus. Jesus suffered for you. Throw your sins on him. Get rid of them and leave them behind. You are fully and freely forgiven in the cross of Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you want to meditate on something, take the Apostle Paul's advice to the Philippians chapter 4 and meditate on this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. Not sin, but Christ, your loving God, and what he has done for you. Who will rescue me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're finally to him. Jesus is the solution. Not trying harder, not taking a vacation from your problems, not staring at your belly button. Only Jesus. Jesus is how the Father made us sinners saints. We are so fallen. We are so hopeless. We cannot pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We cannot begin to take the first step toward our own redemption. But God's own Son had to come into this world of sin and sinners and live perfectly in our place for us, like we were supposed to, but have not. Jesus had to then take up our every sin and rebellion and failure and suffer for them all as he was beaten for us and crucified without cause in our place, taking the wrath of the Father for me. And then on the third day, because nobody would just believe that he said what he would do, that he did what he said he would do, he rose from the dead to prove the whole thing, to win our justification. We are justified. We are clearly guilty of sin and we deserve damnation, but we are justified. The Father has declared us not guilty of our sins. The Father has declared that we are completely forgiven for all through Jesus Christ our Lord. Meditate on that. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.